You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 290 of the Talking Chop podcast. I am your host, Brad Roland. I am joined, as often, by Scott Coleman. Scott, it's Memorial Day weekend. It's not the way that we all wanted to celebrate or discuss baseball or non-baseball on the podcast, but how are you, my friend?
Hey, Brad. Yeah, good to talk with you. As you said, this was not what you or I planned on in the very least when we started thinking about the podcast this holiday weekend, but man, there's a lot to get into here, and we'll get through it. We've done a whole lot of podcasts before, but we have never really done one as focused as this.
Yeah, so obviously people who have listened to this podcast will certainly know at least some of the details, but Marcell Ozuna was arrested on Saturday and charged with aggravated assault by strangulation and family violence. According to jail records, he was held without bond in Fulton County on Saturday evening. And then there were some details that emerged. I'll just kind of go through them now just for record-keeping sake that came out of the police report. Initially, at 12:26 p.m. Eastern Time, local here, a 911 caller requested that officers go to the Windsor Cove home of Marcell Ozuna due to an assault in progress, according to the police report. And the sergeant that responded basically said that they were hearing screaming from inside the house and the front door was open. I'm going to read a quote now from the statement that went out from Sandy Springs, I believe it was. Officers entered the residence through the open door and witnessed the suspect grabbing the victim by the neck and throwing her against the wall. Officers were able to immediately take the suspect into custody without further incident. In addition to the strangulation attempts, the suspect also struck the victim with his arm, which has a cast from a previous injury, end quote. Obviously, Ozuna has the cast. He's hurt right now, because that was actually on a rundown initially, Scott, was the injury stuff, which no longer matters. Then an affidavit came out on Sunday that also added that Ozuna reportedly, or at least allegedly, threatened to kill his wife, and she called 911 from his phone during the incident. I'll just mention that a year ago, I think to the day, Marcell's wife was arrested for domestic violence, so there's a little bit of history here. Obviously, nothing quite to this level. And I'll just say this before we get to the team statement and everything else. This is obviously horrible. We will probably say that multiple times, but horrible allegations. And because a lot of this was at least reportedly witnessed, it's even, you know, it's not even like a situation where there's a lot of gray area, it seems, because officers seemingly saw a lot of this, which is even, you know, even more cut and dry, it seems. Let's just do the team statement now. This is what the team said on Saturday before I bring Scott back in here. From the team, and I'm quoting, "We learned of Marcell Ozuna's arrest earlier this evening and immediately informed the commissioner's office the Braves fully support Major League Baseball's policy on domestic violence, which stresses to the fullest that our society cannot and will not tolerate domestic violence in any form. Until the investigation is completed, we will have no further comment, and all inquiries into the matter should be referred to the office of the commissioner," end quote. Brian Snicker also deferred to that statement as well. So, again, this is awful. Everyone knows that, I hope, but a terrible, terrible thing. Scott, I mean, where do we even go from here? I guess there's lots of fallout, but if true, I will leave with this. If true, I think, you know, go beyond baseball, Marcell Ozuna should be in prison if this is true. That's, I guess that's an opinion of mine, but I think it's pretty cut and dry that he broke the law pretty severely if this is true, and that means you should be punished for that.
Yeah, I mean, when I read the details earlier today, I mean, my jaw literally dropped. You know, it's interesting because at the end of the day, these are human beings just like you and I. And yes, we see them on the television every night or on the field, wherever it may be. and we find joy. I personally, like so many others, find an escape with sports from, you know, the trials and tribulations of real life, right? That's nothing new. And you really just don't know who these people are when they're not on the diamond. And they are horrifying details. I could not believe reading through the affidavit what was said, and the fact that there were officers there who witnessed this. I think takes out any gray area that there might have been. Of course, yesterday we knew of the charges, but we really did not know any of the specifics of what happened. And by numerous accounts, this is a very bad and toxic atmosphere at their home. And now there is going to be a very ugly and very lengthy legal proceeding with all of this. And of course, there are many, many layers to get to, but just a very unfortunate and horrible situation all the way around.
Yeah, it's awful. And again, because of the witnesses, like it's hard for me to see a scenario where this is just not true. I can't see that happen. I mean, I guess we could just try to be, try to leave the door open a little bit if you want to, just because we weren't there. But man, the way this was laid out by the officers responding, all that, the fact that he was arrested, and something horrible happened here, almost certainly. So the investigation is going to be ongoing. It's already started. Technically, right now, he is not suspended. But he is hurt, of course. In fact, the Braves were on the road this weekend, but because he is hurt and got hurt this week, he was home, which is how this happened. That, I actually had to remember that in my brain when I saw this. I was like, wait, aren't the Braves on the road? And then I realized, oh, he's injured. That's why he's home. So all that is to say, he is not suspended at this moment, but he's not with the team. The Braves will get into like kind of the what now of this all. They could release him. I've seen some people ask for that and call for that, and I totally understand, because again, this is deplorable action and you don't want to be associated with that whatsoever. But it seems likely, based on precedent both from the Braves and other organizations, that they'll probably just wait for the investigation to be winding down. And also, there's the contractual element of this, which I know is not the most important thing in the world, but I'm sure there will be all kinds of battling about the money. This is now we're going into my opinion now. I will be surprised if Marcelo Ozuna plays for the Braves again. Do you agree with me?
Yeah, I think so. I would be, I don't think the door is closed forever, because
agreed.
I mean, frankly, surprised. In baseball and in really all professional sports, but especially baseball, there are high profile players who have extensive histories with domestic violence, and they have continued to play.
Yep.
I don't think it is impossible that Marcel never plays for the Braves again, but yes, as of, recording this on Memorial Day weekend, I would be very surprised if he played another game in Atlanta. Does that mean he is traded? Is he released? Is he suspended? Does baseball make an example out of him and suspend him for a long time? I know there are some protocols there as well with their agreement with the MLBPA. But yes, I would lean towards he has played his final game with the Braves.
Yeah, there's all kinds of, we're not experts on this. I'm not going to try to act like I am one on the domestic violence policy. I did a little research about what's happened with certain players. Aroldis Chapman is the most famous player that's been caught up in this, in that policy in the past. But he's of course still playing. I will say none of the details that I could find or that I saw were quite as graphic and also witnessed in the way that this is for Marcel. So I wonder if his suspension that almost certainly will be coming will be quite lengthy. But we just don't know. So we could guess all day long. The Braves had one, I guess, tangential example of this with Hector Oliveira, in which he was suspended and they traded him, and they also had to pay, if not all of his contract, most of that contract, if I recall correctly, but he never played for the Braves again. That, obviously it's a little bit different. He's not the same kind of profile player, which unfortunately matters. I would argue that it probably shouldn't, but it almost certainly does. And also, this is a brand new contract, and Liberty Media, they could cut him right now. That is something they could do. They could go out right now and say, you know what? We are done with you. We'll even pay you to go away, and we'll cut you right now. I guess that probably doesn't happen. And because they deferred to the investigation, I think this is not going to be a quick resolution. We'll update it as we get any updates, but this also might be a case where we don't get a lot of updates. He's away from the team now, again, not suspended. But, I would guess a suspension will come at some point. That's about as confident as I am on anything. but I have no idea when or how long or what the fallout will be here. It's all crazy that we're even discussing this. I'll say one more thing and let you also give your final if you'd like to before we talk about some other things. The Braves are in a very interesting spot here organizationally. They have been tight with Bobby Cox, who is a Hall of Famer, but also has a domestic violence incident on his resume in 1995. There's a statue outside the stadium of Bobby Cox, which is unfortunate. Also, they're still inclusive of Andrew Jones, who has a domestic violence incident as well. Bobby's came while he was still managing the team. Andrew's was after he left the team. And honestly, I am guilty of this before. I've admitted this before, but I didn't make a big enough deal out of this. I'm sort of on the Andrew Jones driven episode talking about his baseball stuff. That I wish I hadn't done that now, honestly. And because of the way that it happened, it kind of just slipped by me as something to really consider until I think I'm grateful for people around that have kind of put that in back into the forefront a little bit that happened. And that's obviously awful, but the Braves have also been really inclusive of him as well. So I don't know what they're going to do here. I don't know what their organizational mandate is. They kind of, you know, gave a pretty standard statement, but also in that statement, they say, plainly, as they should, but still about just the fact that domestic violence in its form will not be tolerated. It's kind of a duality there. I'm not going to tell you what they have to do, but there is a little bit of conflict of interest with how they have handled things in the past. It's different people in the organization for sure, but that's definitely going to be a talking point, and I think it should be, especially if they don't handle this the way they should handle this.
Yeah, you know, to touch on your point about what comes next with Ozuna. You're absolutely right that, you know, for those who wanted him released as of, you know, 7 o'clock last night, like, I get that.
I don't blame you at all, by the way. I don't.
Yep, I do too. I agree with that point. I frankly never want to have to cheer for the guy again.
Correct.
Right.
Agreed.
What he did is inexcusable no matter what the situation. You cannot do that. Just like so many other situations, though, this is going to take a while to play out. It is unique in the fact that because Marcell is out through, in terms of just a pure health and baseball ability, he's out until probably the All-Star break or so. Of course, we were going to talk about his injury and those steps, and realistically, we're probably looking at middle of July, maybe late July, before he is able to resume playing if none of this happened. Because of that, I think this is kind of there's interesting elements to this. And just as we have seen, even with Mickey Callaway this past week and all of his sexual harassment accusations, you know, they have to, because of contracts and just the legality of it all, they have to let the process play out a little bit. So far, the Braves have done what they need to do. They have obviously removed all of his merchandise from the team store. They have removed, I think he had two different promotions coming up here in the next 2 months. Those, of course, have been removed from the promotional schedule. So while there's certainly a very strong argument, yes, you cut him right here and now and you don't do anything else, I do think there's an obvious process that has to play out at least a little bit here before you can make a more of a definitive decision.
Yeah, and, you know, I would say for better or worse, and mostly worse, the fact that he's in year one of the contract plays in here. You know, if he was on an expiring deal, they might be more aggressive in just sending him home forever. But because he just signed a 4-year deal worth $65 million, they may not want to. They might, you know, again, this is not the biggest point on any of this stuff. But they may not want to just pay that out in full if they think that they have a good case to not have to pay it. And honestly, there is a chance, based on the information we have, that Marcell Ozuna goes to prison. I know this is not something that usually happens. You know, athletes often have the best defense possible. They're very rich, and there's favorable treatment as a result of that. But when you're, again, allegedly viewed doing some of these things, like, there is a chance he goes to jail. And then you got different things that happen from there and contract stuff that we're not experts in. But yeah, and to your point quickly about the sort of buffer zone here, because he is out, it actually makes it a little bit easier on the Braves for the next month plus. If he was not injured and this happened, they'd have to kind of make a more decisive action because you can't put him on the field. Like, so a small thing for the Braves, they don't have to make that decision right now. But when he is back and he will be healthy at some point, if he's not in jail, they will have to, like, do something. They have to make a league action. Like there's a restricted list, or they could do whatever they have to do, or the league can, but because they don't have to do that right now, they just kind of haven't done anything other than the investigation is ongoing. So I don't know, man, this is awful. I feel like we are not the best people to talk about this overall, but I know we're both mortified by it. We don't want to root for Ozuna. And I mean, I know we've been very high on Ozuna on this podcast. And I hate that, because, you know, this is not something that anybody can defend. So yeah. we'll leave that down. Unless you have any final thoughts on Ozuna right now, Scott, we can leave it for now. But yeah, we'll come back with any updates. But for now, it's a horrible time. I wish the best for the family and hope she's okay. And the legal process goes from here.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It's from a baseball perspective, it's bad. From an off-the-field perspective, it is horrific. We will see what happens, but just a very, very unfortunate situation all the way around.
It is awful. All right, before we get to a couple other things on the podcast today, we'll break now to hear from our sponsors.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on, and there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
All right, Scott. You and I talked before we started recording. We are not going to do any like game coverage this week. There were only 3 games. It was a bizarre week. Even before the Ozuna thing happened, it was a bizarre week between the injuries and the updates that were happening there and a couple of rainouts and 2 off days. And I have no desire to go through the blow-by-blow of what transpired. So the Braves went 1-2 this week. There you go. You had the idea to do this, and we should. Also, Demetrius Bell, shouts to Demetrius, wrote about the sort of the season from hell for the Braves on the site. We'll do that a bit now, just to recap how ugly this has been, because, you know, we do cover baseball. Again, I'll just say this plainly. This is a lot less important than what happened with Marcell Ozuna. That just has to be said out loud. But the baseball stuff's not been good this year, man. It's been bad, from injuries to performance, all the way around. You made this list, so I'm gonna allow you to read it, of all of the nightmarish things that have happened in less than 2 months of the season.
Yeah, I mean, that's the craziest thing here. We have, like, the Braves are 2 months into the season, and we have had more bad news in 2 months than we've gotten in entire years before. You know, the Ozuna thing was of course the absolute tip of the iceberg, but man, you think about where we've been over the last 8 weeks. I will say this, the season by no means, it is not over, right? We still have 100 games to play. While things have gone poorly the first 2 months, and there are many hurdles to clear to get back to what the Braves have done the last 3 years as division champions, There are a lot of hurdles to clear, and as the calendar flips to June and we get to Memorial Day, it is no longer early. And we can go, of course, line by line of all the things we've gotten to. But I think that's just one thing worth noting. You know, we are to the point in the season where I think we generally know who teams are. We don't have the caveat of, well, yeah, this is happening, but we're 4 weeks into the season. You know, all year long, and Brad, you of course have seen this and are local. I don't know your feelings, but all year long, the reporters around this team have said that things just feel off. Yeah. Maybe it's hard to pinpoint because, of course, we're still doing the Zoom interviews with players, and reporters are not able to get as much access and aren't able to see and hear things like they usually do. But all year long, it just feels like something has been off. I don't know. You know, you can blame it on a postseason hangover, but I mean, the other three teams that made it to the championship round, they're not struggling. I know there's been some injuries, but injuries are up across the league right now. I don't know what it is, man. It's just been a weird year, and I know they've had some underperformance and some injuries, but all year long, or at least through the first 2 months, it's been hard to really get any kind of read on this team.
Yeah, the beat writers have said the same thing, and I'm not in the Zoom every day. I know Chris Willis is. By the way, congrats to Chris, who's now a full timer at Vox and SB Nation, as he announced this week. So, shouts to Chris, legend. Yeah, it's just been a kind of a mess. I mean, maybe it is a hangover from losing the 3-1 lead in LCS. I mean, that's obviously too much narrative for me. I can't like actually say that with a straight face, but I guess it's possible. But you know, things are just kind of broken wrong. Like, it's almost easier to name the things that have gone well this year. It's basically Ronald Acuna and Austin Riley. Yep. And Austin Riley also had a terrible start and then just got as hot as possibly could be. So I guess one of those was spurred on by you and your negativity, Scott. So thank you for that.
There we go.
But no,
I save my Twitter account saves careers, Brad. Yeah, that's my new bio.
Apparently that's something I do on the Hawks. But yeah, man, it's been pretty brutal. So I guess we can run through the things that have happened quickly. We'll save Mike Soroka for the end because there's an update on that this week. But Travis d'Arnaud, which people have kind of forgot about, Travis d'Arnaud broke his thumb, and he was a Silver Slugger Award winner last year. Travis d'Arnaud was awesome in 2020, and this year he's been bad and then hurt. Waskar Yanoa punches a bench during his breakout season, and he's going to be out for a long time. Christian Pache has been awful and hurt. Obviously, Ozuna was playing poorly and now has this. The bullpen's been pretty bad. And to your point earlier, you know, it's no longer early. Like, Memorial Day is the day that people talk about things sort of checking the standings. That's kind of one of the old adages, is like, check the standings on Memorial Day. Well, we're at Memorial Day now, and the Braves are not playing very well. I can't remember who I stole this from. Somebody tweeted this out, but it's kind of the ebb and flow of the season. They lose four in a row to open the year. They get back to 4-4, and then they lose four in a row again. Then they even it up at 12-12. They lose four in a row again. They get back to 500 at 17-17. They lose three in a row. They finally get back to 500 again this week at 24-24. Then they lose two in a row, have two rainouts, and all of the other things that happened.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you said earlier that it's not over, because it's not. I mean, even a generous reading, like, the Braves are in second place in the National League East somehow after all that we just said. So it's not like it's completely lost, but it's a bit about as little fun as anyone could have covering the team, because it's different when you're bad. Like, when you're supposed to be bad, like during those times when we started the podcast, you're waiting on prospects and minor league guys, and you're realistic about what's going to be happening. But when you're supposed to be good and you're not, and everything goes wrong, it's a nightmare. No one has fun.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, I think that's probably the synopsis of the season so far, is it has not been fun. There's been some really tough losses, and again, all losses count the same, but there's something to be said for when you just have a bad night and lose 9-0 versus it's felt like Groundhog's Day. We've talked about that on this podcast, that it feels like all of the losses this season have felt pretty similar, in a sense of just, you know, well, 4-3 game, Braves are up late, and then all of a sudden the bullpen lets one get away, and then a wild pitch, and before you know it, the Braves have lost. It has been a frustrating season. And then, you know, you throw in this off the field matter with Marcel. It's just been a really tough first 2 months. And, it is not over. The good news is, you know, this is not a situation by any means where they're down. You know, they're already back 10 games in the division. The Mets have issues of their own. They have injuries. That, you know, they are not a team that's going to be impossible to catch. And the Nationals and the Phillies and the Marlins by no means are not unbeatable either. But at some point, this team has to figure it out a little bit. And with all of these injuries that we just listed off and inevitable suspension with in Ozuna's case, they are going to really have to dig deep and find something, because I just honestly don't know. As this roster currently sits, I just don't know if there's enough there right now.
Well, I was going to say that too, like, not to cut you off, but I should have said this earlier just to mention it. But if we knew the current roster was the roster, no one picks the Braves to win the division this year. You know what I mean? Like, if you remove Mike Soroka, Travis d'Arnaud, and Marcelo Ozuna, we'll just say those three. Take them off the roster with no like high dollar replacements. No one's picking the Braves to win the division this year, I don't think. And if they did, it would have been a close race. Now they have those guys are gone for the most part, and they're 3.5 games back. So, you know, again, no one's saying it's over, but it's not a good situation to be in, because they don't have, I mean, maybe they could go out and buy at the deadline or whatever, but the roster as constructed, yes, they still have stars. They still have Ronald Acuna, who might be the best player in baseball. They have Freddie Freeman, and they have guys. But it's not a situation where, you know, the Dodgers are 5 games back right now. You look at the roster and they're just totally loaded. The Braves are not in a situation where they're just like better than the Mets. They're probably not better. And the Mets have been really hurt too, actually. And but anyway, if you look at the rosters up and down, like, even with rose-colored glasses, you can't tell me that the Braves are like flat out better than everybody else in the National League East, and now they have a 3.5 game deficit and like kind of a cloud hanging over them.
Yeah, hey, maybe if some positive stories want to emerge here, that would be awesome.
Austin Riley's Butch Robinson for one.
Yeah, I mean, really, you're going to need everybody who is healthy and performing to honestly stay healthy and continue performing. They're going to need some of their young pitchers to step up and you know, step in. And so far they have done that to an extent. But yeah, man, it's been a frustrating first 2 months, and hey, there's 100 games to go. That's the beauty of baseball. You're never really out of it until the very end, but they have to figure out some things, and hopefully with this gigantic off the field distraction problem, whatever you want to call it, hopefully they're able to just kind of pick up the pieces, and as the calendar flips to June, they're able to figure a few things out.
Yeah, so as we say, we're not going to go through everything that we normally would go through detail-wise. We'll get back to normal hopefully next week. But just as a matter of record-keeping, they called up Johan Camargo to replace Ozuna when he got hurt originally. And the plan seems to be Adrianza playing every day in left field for now, with Heredia in center, and Camargo as the utility guy. If I told you before the season that the Braves starting outfield was going to be Ronald Acuna, Adrianza, and Heredia, you would have thought I was insane. And that's apparently going to be happening.
I guess they could,
the other options that were out there, we probably would spend a half hour on this in normal circumstances, but they could have gone to Riley in the outfield. They didn't want to do that. There's Ender Inciarte is still around. Pache had, I guess, a setback health-wise this week. Drew Waters, people, you know, there's all kinds of options, but none of them are great at this moment in time. So I don't know. We'll leave it there now. But the schedule, by the way, this week is not terribly easy. I mean, they have 4 against Washington at home starting on Memorial Day, and then the Dodgers come to town, and they're not playing great, but the Dodgers are still the Dodgers. They're still loaded. So they're home games. So maybe there's something to get going in front of the home fans this week, but not a lot of fun there. Last thing we have to hit on, because it's just so weird, and it won't be as weird next week, so we have to do it now, is the Mike Soroka update or non-update that transpired on Friday. Brian Snicker, for those of you who didn't see this potentially, went on MLB Network on the television side. So he's on the air and he's on camera with, I believe, Chris Russo. And he said pretty definitively, and I think twice, that Mike Soroka is out for the season. But then within, I don't know, a half hour, maybe an hour at most, there were leaks to the beat writers saying that he was not actually out for the season, citing persons familiar with the situation. And then Snicker kind of fell on the sword at his media availability that day, saying that he'll be reevaluated again in 2 weeks. That was weird. Not to, I know we're not having a very lighthearted podcast, but that was a very strange moment. And people were asking me, because I'm a reporter, but I wanted to know what you thought of that, because you're not a reporter in the locker room. Did you find that as weird as everybody else did? Because I have my own reporter thoughts.
It was very odd. I don't know. I mean, I don't think Snicker did not just pull that out of the air, out of nowhere. But as you said, I mean, the Braves' PR folks moved quickly to inform Mark Bowman and Dave O'Brien and others that Soroka is not done for the year. As you said, Snit fell on the sword a little bit and said he misspoke. I don't know how you misspoke about something like that, but I guess it happens. I don't know if it was the front office. I mean, my guess is, and I believe you feel the same way, my guess is it's the front office trying to position themselves a little better should they be engaging in trade discussions of some kind. But it was just a weird situation all the way around. And as you said, it feels so small and insignificant following the last 48 hours, but it was an odd scenario all the way around.
Yeah. So I bring it up because it was A, weird, and B, Soroka is obviously a big part of the team. We thought on the podcast that it's likely he's out for the season anyway. I think everyone's kind of thought that, and they just haven't said it out loud. But to go from Snit saying he's, quote, down for the year and we'll hopefully get him back next year, which is pretty definitive, to not within a couple of hours. My thought was, as a reporter, that, you know, as soon as that coordinated leak happened, it was very clear where it came from, and it was coming from the Braves directly to Bowman and DOB. The warning was pretty similar as well, which is always a giveaway of that it's been fed. And that's not on them. That's just the way things happen. But I am still assuming Soroka's out for the season until otherwise. Like, I guess there could be a change, but, or maybe they think it's like possible he could pitch in, you know, September 20th. I think that's insane, honestly, because like for a guy who's been a guy who would have been out for that long, essentially without pitching, you know, even if he was quote unquote on track to be ready on October 3rd, like just shut the guy down. Like he does not gonna, you know, maybe he would help you in the playoffs, but that's far away. So anyway, again, like we both said, it was not the most important news, but that was kind of a pretty big story. Even nationally, that got some run before the weekend. So wanted to bring it up. I don't know, Scott, that's probably enough for today. We're gonna go short, I think. Not a fun week. We'd like to hopefully talk about normal baseball things a week from now on the show, and hopefully we'll pass along any other updates. Again, a big week. If the Braves were to go out and go 6-1 this week, they would feel a lot better about things, I'm sure. But in the meantime, negative on the field, negative off the field, and I guess it's best to leave it there. Any final thoughts, Scott?
No, as you said, I mean, you have to, from an on-field perspective, you hope that the fellas can kind of rally and get things figured out. And again, there's still plenty of baseball to be played. You would hope that they have a handful of home games coming up here. The Nationals have had issues. And as you alluded to, the Dodgers have not been unstoppable by any means, though they are still very good and very talented. You would hope that they start to translate some of this to on-field wins. And at the end of the day, winning puts a big Band-Aid on a lot of things. It's certainly not going to fix the horrific happenings over the weekend with Marcelo Zuna. But as you just said, let's hope that in a week's time we can talk about some positive things happening on the field with Braves. And then, of course, just see where everything goes from here.
Yeah, well said. Keep it locked to talkingchop.com, where there's always written content. Also to this podcast network, where we are recording weekly, as well as Road to Atlanta with Eric and the folks on the minor league side. That's been coming the last few weeks, and they're dialed into their groove as well. So subscribe, tell your friends, all that fun stuff. Thanks for listening. Hopefully we'll be in a better mood next time around, and we'll see you all next time.